baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need, want you to see everything. Want you to see everything.
What up, friends, and welcome back to the Ricardo Report. High school sports and hip hop at Fox Sports 1340 AM. I'm your host, John Ricardo. Joining me, I got my main man, Rodney Jiggs Johnson. Jiggs, how you feeling today, bro?
Hey, man, I'm good. How about yourself, bro?
Man, I am doing excellent. And also riding with us, we got the top young journalist in the entire nation. You know, we talk about athletes this way, not just on the East Coast, not just in the DMV, but in the entire nation, Mr. Darrell Balknight. D, how are you today?
I'm great. Weather's not too great, but I'm great. I'm not letting that slow me down.
You know what? And I figured that we would all be in such a pleasant mood today because each and every one of our teams won this weekend, man. How exciting is that?
Oh, it's very exciting. I'm glad that, you know, we're not 4-4-1 because that tie is really making me really mad, but we're 5-3-1. We're grinding, we're pushing, so I'm happy.
I mean, that tie has you in third place as opposed to tied for second with us there, D.
That's true, yeah. I can't speak. I hate ties. I don't like ties. I like dressing up in ties, but I don't like NFL ties. There we go.
I was going to say, ties look good with cardigans, D. Ties look good with cardigans.
They look very good, especially with library cards in them.
Your Redskins, bro. I was really hoping that they would blow that game the other day, but they actually they pulled it out. I cannot lie. Unfortunately, man, Kirk Cousins is making fewer and fewer mistakes. Are you sold on him yet?
I'm pretty much sold. I think that this day and age, the quarterback position is such a valuable position that you can't really take a risk on it. The only thing about Cousins that really irks me at times is that he likes to take chances here and there.
Right.
He'll float a ball up in the air and it'll be tipped or it may get intercepted here and there. But, you know, he's a really above average quarterback. He was second in the league in passing yards last week behind Matt Ryan. So he's still in the top five in that category. And I think that he'll continue this until the end of the season. So I'm sold.
Unfortunately, I really can't knock that proposition. Jiggs, your Eagles, your young upstart Eagles, you bounce back, you won another tough one, man. I mean, you all are kind of up and down a little bit. What's your take on you all right now?
No, I think we're looking good right now, man. I mean, you can see the defense bounce back. The offense was looking good. I'm glad to see Ryan Matthews just get his swag back. I think, you know, whatever he had going on, they said he had a tooth situation and some other injury. But he's bounced back, and I'm glad that we put the load on him this weekend, man. And he really showed that he deserved to be in that number one running spot. You know, even though Sproles did what he did.
Right.
You know, we're glad to have Ryan Matthews back there. Yeah. And I want to say, too, as far as the quarterback position, man, Carson Wentz is looking good. And I think that what we can say about this season right now is Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz are looking like what RG3 and Andrew Luck were supposed to look like.
Oh, look.
I think that's what I want to say this.
Wow. Hey, Darrell, look at Jiggs dropping dimes right there. I didn't expect something like that to come from him.
I didn't. That was a really good comparison in comparing their rookie years. So it was good.
Yeah, my only hope is that both of those quarterbacks end up far more like RG3 as opposed to Andrew Luck for you all sakes.
For our sakes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a Giant.
I'm missing
fan.
That.
Hey, I'm a Giant fan. I want for it to go bad. Speaking of the Giants, since you guys asked about it, my Giants had another impressive victory, man. That's 4 in a row for us. Again, we went from 2-0, then we lost 3 in a row. Now we've won 4 in a row. Never mind the fact that we have a -9 turnover ratio. Never mind the fact that we are the second worst rushing team in the league. We win games, bro. We win close games, and that's just how it is. We've got the Browns and the Bears coming up next, so unless we completely lay an egg, we should come out of this 8-3. Of course, we know that the Cowboys are riding high. They've won, what, 8 straight games now. D, your team is above 500. Jiggs, your team is right at 500. The NFC East has been called the NFC least for a couple of seasons in a row now. is arguably the NFC East the best league in the whole entire NFL?
I'm going to say yes to that, man. And I'm going to even go as far as to say, man, I think it's going to be between us and the Cowboys at the end of the day.
Man, I mean, what do you just want to make me and D angry right now? You just want to piss us off?
Listen, this is where I am right now.
Okay.
Chad. So that's what it's going to be, man.
Look, hey, Darrell, look, from all the way down in the basement, man, his team is technically in last place, and he says that it's going to be them and the Cowboys. What do you think? Is this the predominant conference in the NFL?
I think now it is. I think, like you said, a couple years ago, people would regard the NFC East as the laughing stock of the league. And in looking at it, I'm giving the NFC East the slight edge over the AFC West, simply because each team in the NFC East has a winning record. But in the West, in the AFC West, it's Kansas City 7-2, won 5 straight. Oakland 7-2, they've won 3 straight. Denver 7-3. San Diego's the only team with a losing record at 4-6. And plus, another thing about the NFC East, I think the Cowboys right now are the best team in football.
Damn it, fellas. Goodness gracious.
And they've shown that consistently week after week after week. And I wasn't sold on them a few weeks ago, but now I don't think it's a fluke. But as of right now, they're the best. And the Redskins being in third place, they're actually below the Eagles in terms of NFL power ranking.
Good.
So that just shows... That goes to show the competitiveness and the drive in the NFCs. Yeah, good, Chad.
Good. Have I told you all that I hate the Redskins? Hate the Redskins.
Yeah, man.
Got to try to get that in at least one time per show. Look, you mentioned the AFC West. I want to talk about the NFC West. Now, we're talking about teams that are playing really well. A team that's playing really badly is, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. But to speak to that, one of the reasons that they're playing badly is their quarterback play. They got two quarterbacks. Neither one of them have really shown to be worth a damn. But let's go off of the field and talk about your boy Colin Kaepernick, man. Jiggs, I'll bring this to you first. We've spoken a lot about Colin. And of course, by the time that this show airs, the presidential election has been passed by at least 10 to 14 days. A lot of us are still a little hurt over that. I cry every morning just thinking about it. But Colin Kaepernick didn't vote, man. We have spoken pretty highly of Cap and of his debate and of his protests and really leading the march. Jiggs, does him not voting, does that kind of take away from his cause in your eyes?
Colin Kaepernick not voting takes away everything, man. I mean, you can't say that you're taking a knee to stand for something, but then when it's time for you to pony up and make a decision that will ultimately support the cause that you are trying to put in the forefront, you know, what are you saying to the kids that are looking up to you?
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't take the time to research what his explanation for not voting is. But what I can tell you is that you're telling me that you're standing or you're taking a knee because of police brutality and oppression, yet you're allowing this presidential nominee,
right,
who is siding with Rudy Giuliani with the whole stop and frisk. I don't know if you kids know or you listeners out there know the stop and frisk situation and what that is, but go look it up. And this is a guy that wants stop and frisk throughout the whole country, and all that will do is increase the opportunity for police brutality, yet you don't go out and vote against it.
Right.
It makes no sense to me, Chad. I mean, and I'm sorry that I'm not articulating it. It's just that's how upset I am at Colin's decision.
I mean, honestly, to be real with you, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, I'm going to go as far as to say that to some extent, I feel slightly betrayed by this whole situation. I mean, look, I was willing to get firmly on board with Colin. I felt like he was doing something. I felt like he was taking a stand by taking a knee, and that he was leading some people into the right place. But this is just kind of another one of those buyer beware moments, because it's actions like this that leave us to be open to ridicule from the other side. because then they say, oh, well, look, man, I mean, look, there's your hero. There's your hero. That's your guy that everybody was following. That's your guy that everybody was looking up to, and look at him now. D, please, enlighten us here.
I totally agree with both of you. I agree with, I don't know if you heard or saw what Stephen A. Smith said on First Take the other day, but I agree with him too, even though he caught a lot of flack for what he said. And to go off
what did he say, D? Because I didn't see it.
Well, basically, he said exactly what you two said, that he did all this, and to not vote in the election kind of just, it makes him look hypocritical. And the fact that, you know, he led this entire movement. First, he was sitting the national anthem. Then he took a knee during the national anthem. And then he's protesting and pledging to do all these things. And he said he wouldn't change his stance until he saw a change in America. And when the opportunity for him to make his voice heard regarding a change in America came, he didn't do anything about it.
Nothing at all.
So that's what Stephen A. said. That's also what I believe, because he did all this. Everybody heard about it. There was a big uproar. There were outcries. People praised him. And now, you know, you hear that he didn't vote, and it's almost like, what was the point of doing what you did in the first place, or doing what you're doing now? It contradicts itself, and it looks really embarrassing. And it is, a lot of people, like you said, Chad, they feel betrayed by what he said, and the thing with him not voting, the fact that he didn't vote, it just kind of throws everything in the trash.
Words without actions, bro. Words without actions, man. And that's totally useless.
Exactly. Let me jump in there real quick too, because a lot of times we hear that saying about don't shoot the messenger or whatever, and it's all about the message. So what we can do, what we can take from this, is that it's still about the message, and that the taking a knee can still be something big, and it can still be something that can lead to change. So I don't want the kids out there across the country. And I don't want, you know, the other players and people in positions where they can actually take a stand. I don't want you guys to stop doing this. I want you to do it, but I want you to do it with the purpose. And I want you to do it and be able to, you know, back it up. Back it up with your actions. Back it up by saying, look, I want to change, and this is how I'm going to help make that change. And I'm not going to miss an opportunity to let my voice be a part of the things that's going to lead to change.
So in other words, take Cap's first step, and then actually take the movement where it deserves to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely agree with both of you on that. One of the things that I saw a lot of the other day, because obviously we are a sports show and we cater to our student athletes. I saw a ton of student athletes out there and voting and tweeting about voting and tweeting about the importance of it, man. Shout out Kasim Hill, Cam Spence, those young men, just a couple amongst a lot more. So that's always encouraging. Here's the other thing that I want to ask about that, though, is that, like, one of the things that we've also seen is we've seen coaches really stand out since the election and speak of the what many would perceive to be a travesty. Respected coaches, Greg Popovich, Coach of the Year champion, Steve Kerr, Coach of the Year champion, Stan Van Gundy, very respected coach out there. But they've received flack from some people in the media as well that say that it's not their place to really step out, especially against the president-elect. D, do you... If you had a coach, would you be okay with him stepping out? Because look, now all of us, our initial inclination is going to be to say yeah, because maybe they agree with a feeling that we have, but what if that coach didn't agree with the feeling that we have? Do you think it's their place to step out in this way?
Well, I think you have to look at several different things. I think you have to look at the demographics of the NBA, given that, 75-80% of the NBA is black.
Right.
And the three coaches who spoke out in opposition of Donald Trump's presidency or being nominated for president were Steve Kerr, Jeff Van Gundy, and Greg Popovich. So all three coaches were white, and in locker rooms, a lot of guys, especially the African-American players, were not, you know, in favor of Donald Trump becoming president. That's right. Actually Stan Van Gundy, not Jeff Van Gundy. But I think it is their place. It's anybody's place to express an opinion, whether they're a coach, a player, a normal citizen, one of us here on the radio. But hey, they all express their opinions. They have the right to do so. And they didn't say anything wrong. And their platform gives them that opportunity and that privilege to do so. And I think a lot of players may have gained more respect for them for speaking out and for letting their opinions be heard, especially in a really sensitive time like this where everybody perceives this race as that and the other race as this. So it was, I think it was more important than it looked on the surface as to how big it was for them to speak out.
Now, see, I am inclined to agree with you again, but I think that it's always important in life to look at the other side of the coin, bro. And Jiggs, what if this coach, your coach, was not speaking out in downplaying or speaking negatively about the election of Donald Trump, but rather speaking out and up for Donald Trump and saying good things and saying how it was the right thing for the nation, then how would you feel about it? So that's why I say, should a coach right. take that stance?
Right. Here's where I take it. It's kind of a very simple layman's term. If you're speaking out for the inclusion of all Americans and the inclusion of all peoples to take part in something and to come together and to be a part of something, then I don't have any problem as a player, as another coach, I wouldn't have any problem supporting that particular coach. I agree with Darrell saying that, you know, we're all people, we're all entitled to our opinions, and we're all, you know, able to give those opinions, you know, when we feel the time is necessary. Now, which we've also seen, we have seen coaches step out and say that they support Donald Trump. We've seen players step out and say that they support Donald Trump, giving Trump phone calls and all that stuff. Jay Cutler, Tom Brady, we've seen this and we've heard this. So my thing about that is, look at what he represents. I mean, that's all you got to do is look at what he represents. Look at what the people that he has surrounding him represent. And if it's not an inclusive thing, then, you know, that's on those people that are standing behind what this guy represents. That's the best I can say.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that, man. I got a sneaky suspicion that this won't be the last time that we have these conversations involving athletes and Donald Trump, United States. Thank you, gentlemen. What you got, Jiggs?
Hey, Chad, you forgot to throw a shout out to our very own Bo English out there. He was tweeting while he was out there at the polls as well.
Wait, you were on Twitter? Shout out Bo English, the logo.
I'm trying to put you in the worst mood. P1 cleaner than your church shoes. Belly point two just to hurt you. All red lamb just to tease you. None of these toys on lease to. Made your whole year in a week to. Main out of your league to. Side out of your league to. House so empty, need a centerpiece. 20 racks of table come from ebony. Cut that ivory into skinny pieces. Then she clean up with her face.
And we're back at the Recover Report, high school sports and hip hop. Wonderful conversation with Mr. Darrell Balknight, myself, Rodney Jiggs Johnson, just now talking about the election, student athletes, professional athletes, coaches, etc. You should certainly rewind and check that out. But in order to bring things back down to a strictly sports level, meat and potatoes, Josh JVE Laurie is back on the line. Josh, how you feeling, bro?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I got to see some awesome high school games this weekend. Can't wait to talk about it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and meander right onto the topic of WCAC football. Darrell Balknight, we had DeMatha Good Counsel. We also had Gonzaga St. John's. Unfortunately, me and you, we were wrong on Gonzaga St. John's. So should we start there? Should we start with DeMatha Good Counsel?
Let's start with Domenico Council.
Okay, that's one that we were all right on. That, an amazing, remarkable game. Before we go into anything, into any details, you know what I want to do first and foremost? I want to give the fellas out at Good Council total and complete credit, man. I mean, they came out to that game. Josh and I, we were there in person. They came out that game, and they were on fire. They came ready to play. They came ready to hit. They were prepared, man. They didn't back down at all. They gave for 3.5 quarters, they gave DeMatha everything that they could ask for 3.5 quarters out there the other night.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I was following the game all along, and Good Council came out strong right from the get-go and gave, like you said, gave DeMatha a run for their money right away, but that typical Stags, they were found a way late and they were able to run away with it.
Look, just to give up, because I don't want to sell them short here, especially my people at GC Football, don't want to sell them short. Potent DeMatha running game that has been able to run the ball on everybody that they played here this year. My man Corey Sproul, they put him in handcuffs out there. Miles Marie, they put him in handcuffs.
Yeah, it wasn't the same running attack we've been seeing from Stags week in and week out. Also, the Stags defense looked a little befuddled by the switching quarterback. Instead of the guy who started most of the season, senior Travis Nannen, we got to see sophomore Cam Snell take his first career start, and he was fantastic. He accounted for the two Good Council touchdowns, one through the air and one through the ground.
Absolutely. Cam Snell was phenomenal. That's something that I wanted to get to later on when we start talking about who it is that we look to take the mantle next year. Cam Snell looked amazingly good. He is a GYFL alum, man. He, like you said, Josh, won through the air, got Good Council up early, and then another one with his legs, man. DeMatha was down trailing in the fourth quarter this game, but again, the heroics, we got to give all credit in the world to the logo himself, Bo English, for catching fire. But Mr. Delonte Helms, 3 receiving touchdowns in this game, man. What can't you say about Delonte Helms?
Hey, first of all, we got to show love to the whole Helms clan, because it wasn't just Delonte putting in work. DeMarco had a pick, which was part of how they iced the game in that fourth quarter where they scored 21 unanswered points.
Yes, they did indeed. And of course, Darrell, now I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter, but did you see, speaking of putting the nail in the coffin, did you see Chase Young's play?
I did see Chase Young's play, and I heard all about it. I saw your interview with him after the game. Of course I saw Chase play.
I did interview him after the game, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, you know what? That Chad Ricardo.
Chad, plays like the one that Chase Young made give credence to human evolution, because that's something somebody that big could not be athletic enough to do.
Man, he just said credence and human evolution in the same sentence. Josh, are you at college right now?
What do you think?
Shout out to the DeMatha Stags. They booked the first ticket to the big dances. They take on now Mr. St. John's, Mr. Josh J.V. Eloy, Mr. Bandwagon Driver. Go ahead and tell us, bro. You had St. John's and they got it done.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I got to give it up to both teams. It was an electric atmosphere. I mean, there are few moments that compare to a game like this. You also got to look at the history. This is the longest running Catholic school rivalry in the country. In fact, give me one second, because I actually have the program from the game with me. See, I come prepared with all the research. It was the 93rd meeting in the modern era. And even though the Cadets won, the Eagles still have a 46-42-5 lead for the rivalry. But I mean, it's close.
Well, now if I ever want to write a paper on this rivalry, I've got that information that I needed there. Darrell, were you at all surprised that St. John's won this game? I mean, again, Gonzaga was able to score 45 on them the previous week. The Cadets defense showed up and showed out this game.
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I wasn't shocked at all. In the WCAC, especially with the top 4 teams this year, it's going to be hard to beat the same opponent twice. It's going to be hard for DeMatha to try to beat St. John's next weekend or this coming weekend. And it was going to be hard for Gonzaga to beat St. John's this past Saturday, especially given the fact that they played them the previous weekend. They didn't have a week in between. There was St. John's at Paint Branch High School. Then it was St. John's again at Gonzaga at home. So it was going to be hard either way, whether or not they had to play them on Monday, 1 week's notice or a couple week break. So I'm not surprised at all.
And you know what? I spoke with a DeMatha insider during halftime, and he told me the game was tied at 14 apiece. I believe, Josh, you can correct me. It was tied at 14 apiece at halftime.
Yeah, 14 apiece.
Nope.
Your boy Sam Brown scored a touchdown on the QB keeper with 33 seconds left in the half.
Okay, well, now that you've ruined my train of thought here, I spoke with the DeMatha insider as the game was tied at 14 apiece, and what he told me was that even though the game was tied, that he felt as though St. John's had the advantage going into the second half. He said because as hard as Gonzaga was playing, as well as Tyree Randolph was playing, he said that it was clear that St. John's just had more talent, and that the talent that St. John's had wasn't going to allow for Gonzaga to beat them twice in 2 weeks due to the talent alone that St. John's had. Josh, did you feel that way being there at the game?
Yes, just because early in the game, I mean, on their first drive, the Cadets had got it down to the 1 yard line. And we all know Coach Cass, he's a gambler like Riverboat Ron. I mean, we saw that in that first DeMatha St. John's matchup. Instead of going for with the same thing and kicking the field, the extra point to go to overtime, he went for two to try and win that game there. He wanted to make a statement early in the game, and they got stuffed on fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. A bad snap kind of ruined that drive. But had they kicked it, it would have been a lead going into halftime. Also, they were able to drive the ball down into field goal range, and I've got to give it up. Rafael Cuche, I'm hoping I'm saying that name right. Holler at me if I mess that up, okay? This kid, phenomenal kicker. He had the distance on a 45-yarder but pushed it left. So we're looking at 6 points going off the board there that easily could have given the Cadets a comfortable lead going into halftime.
Okay. Well, you know, and St. John's ended up winning this game. I mean, Kasim Hill, from by all accounts, was nothing short of spectacular out there the other night. So
he looked like a grown man. I mean, it didn't matter. It was him running it down their throats. He was taking on two, sometimes three defenders at a time. They couldn't bring him down. They did not have an answer for him. He looked like a boy among men.
And I did.
Among boys.
I saw the replay of one of his touchdown runs. It was phenomenal in and of itself. Now, early in the game, though, Kasim did go down with an injury. And I know that that one of the controversies in this game is that apparently, D, your Gonzaga student section cheered when Kasim went down with an injury.
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, it was at one point, we want Clay chant.
Clay, of course, referencing Clay Vance, the backup quarterback for St. John's. But, Darrell, I want for you to defend your guys here. We already talked about this when we talked about the DeMatha game and chance that they made towards an unnamed DeMatha player. Now we get this from against St. John's as well. Is this inbounds or out of bounds?
You know what? And I was kind of thinking of it earlier, and I obviously I wasn't there, but I do believe what I trust what I hear. And it goes on a lot, but as I was saying, Gonzaga St. John's, Gonzaga DeMatha, DeMatha St. John's, whatever. There's a lot on social media before the week leading up to games. And I'm not saying that it was the case this time, but it is true that, you know, stuff goes on and taunting between two fan bases occurs, and that doesn't give leeway or an excuse to cheer when another player is hurt or to call on another player to replace that injured player. And it is out of bounds. And like we said a couple of weeks ago, there's a line between cheering and there's a line between heckling excessively and doing it in a way that degrades and kind of takes away from another student athlete, high school student athlete. So I think not just at these schools, not just at certain games, but all over the country, it needs to be evaluated and Especially in the WCAC, where it's such a prestigious conference, it really needs to be looked at.
I think that that is absolutely beautiful, D. That's beautiful. And we apologize to anybody out there that could not hear D exactly. Apparently, Josh has called us from a college pep rally today. I'm not really certain exactly what's going on out there. It is time for us to get down to choosing the winner of the championship game, though. I mean, this right here, big time football going down this weekend. It's Saturday. It's at the University of Maryland at Byrd Stadium. D, you and I, we thought this was going to be DeMatha Gonzaga. Kasim Hill and St. John's has proved us wrong. I'm going to toss it to you first. Who do you got and why?
Well, I think 77% of people, according to my Twitter poll, thought it was going to be DeMatha Gonzaga as well, and only 13% DeMatha St. John. So they were in the minority. But I, looking back on the game in September 30th, it was 14-13 DeMatha over St. John's, and it was on DeMatha's field. It was close. They battled throughout. I think St. John's, I can't remember exactly, they missed a two-point conversion in the end. And DeMatha was able to get by. Like I said, they find a way to get by each and every time. There probably were some things that they kept hidden in that game, and people pretty much guaranteed that those two teams would see one another in the championship game.
Right.
As a lot of people said. That said, I think St. John's is going to come out. They're going to use momentum from the game, the playoff game against Gonzaga in their stadium, and use this game at a neutral site to their advantage. You know, there's going to be an equal crowd. There's going to be DeMatha. There's going to be St. John's. The crowd is going to be loud either way, and they have momentum on their side coming off a pretty high-scoring game.
Man, all right.
So because of that, I'm going to go with DeMatha.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
I'm going with DeMatha. Look, I love Kasim Hill. I love Nick Zimmerman, Ryan Vessels, all those guys. They're incredible athletes, incredible student athletes, both on and off the field. DeMatha, I mean, it's hard to pick against them because they just find a way. That's their new model. They find a way every single week. And Coach Brooks and all those guys, I trust Bo English to do what's right. And I think the defense is going to show up. Chase Young, Helms, everybody. Grant Donaldson. So I'm taking DeMatha. I'll take them
27-24. 27-24, D. You had me. You, me, and everybody else at home were fooled by that right there. Great. Josh, did you see that drama that Darrell built right there? You can learn from that, young man. Josh, who do you got and why?
Okay, well.
Oh, the pep rally's back. Go ahead.
Okay, first things first. Everybody knows how I feel about St. John's. I say that they are the most talented team, not just in the WCAC, but in the nation. But they're not coming into this game healthy. They went into last week's game without their top two running backs, Joakim Bengda and Kalen Robinson. Both of them were banged up, sidelined. And, I mean, and you can see how it impacted the team, especially when it comes to the passing game. Because, I mean, those running backs are instrumental in pass blocking and coming up and helping with those guys coming off the edge. Especially because Kasim Hill is not going to be able to run it against the Stags like he was able to against the Eagles. I mean, no disrespect for the Eagles front seven, but we're talking about the DeMatha team. We're consistently, you're talking about at least five guys in that front seven looking at D1, having multiple D1 offers. I know Hill is a four-star, but he's not running over three guys who are going to be playing D1 ball like he is. So, honestly, I really want to give it to St. John's in my heart of hearts.
So you've been riding with St. John's all year long. D, you've been driving the bandwagon all year long.
Huh? Goodness. I sat here and was quiet while you were talking, okay? Am I allowed to finish?
Okay.
Am I allowed to get my words out?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. honestly, though, it really comes down to if we've got one of these two guys. I mean, I'm not – there is nothing to sniff at. I mean, McCann, he was fantastic. But when you start going down to your third running back, there is a significant drop-off in that pass blocking ability. If Robinson or Bengta are good to go, and I'm talking about two sophomores who already have offers from Big Ten schools, I've got to go with St. John's. If not, it's going to come down to who's got that last possession, honestly. And I mean, if it comes down to the kicking game, I got to go with St. John's. But if it comes down to having to drive down the field with like a minute to go, I got to take the Stags.
Wait, in how many different ways did you just split your bet? Did you just say... Did you just say that if the running backs play, you're with St. John's, but then if they don't, then you're with whoever has the ball last? What kind of pick is this?
This is a pick of a man who realizes that without the full injury report, making a pick is foolish.
Oh, man. Man, shame on you. You know what? I'm going to make a pick. Look, I tell you what. D, I will take your Kasim Hill, your my main man Nick Zimmerman, my main man Ryan Vessels. I'll raise you another one, Ed Lee as well. Both Cams, both Spence and Cam Bigelow out there as well. Kofi Wardlow.
You forgot Cam Good's last name?
His Twitter handle is Cam Bigelow, okay? Don't judge me.
Come on.
Don't judge me.
I am 1,000% judging you as well as the rest of St. John's student section who will get loud and rowdy and get in your mentions.
Anyway, I don't want them to get in my mentions or anything else. Thank you very much. But I was making a point here. This St. John's team, you have made the point all year how talented they are, and it's for very good reason. I do believe that the victory that they had this past weekend was instrumental. I believe that it will give them that passion, that fire. And more so to that point, man, Josh, you were at the first DeMatha St. John's game. When they walked off of the field, like, there was so much hurt in them. There was so much pain in them. There was so much that said that they could not wait to see DeMatha again. You know,
I wouldn't describe it as pain. That was just like, yo, we got this. We got this. We know what we got to do. That was focus and determination. A little frustration, but that wasn't pain. That was okay. Now we know what we got to do.
I think it was pain, Josh. I think that when winners lose tough-fought games, that there's pain there. I mean, that's how I feel. D, you're an athlete. That's how you felt. Did you feel pain after big losses?
Pain, yeah. Disappointment. The feeling that you want to get back at the other team that beat you. But yeah, pain is a big thing. I think for any athlete, you're right.
Yeah, Josh.
I guess that because my high school basketball team was trash.
Exactly.
And if we scored like 30 points, that was a moral victory. I don't really know what the agony of defeat is, okay?
That's about what I figured. So now that you've cut me off again, so when I look at that, man, it really lets me know that St. John's has a real, real shot at victory in this game. Kasim Hill, like I said, man, you can't take anything away from that young man. The kid is phenomenal. He deserves every ounce of credit that he has ever given. But I've said it for the last 11 weeks. I'm going to say it again now. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Gotta beat the man.
DeMatha finds a way. Whether it's Bo English with his legs, who he had three touchdowns with his legs the previous week, three touchdowns through the air this past week. Delonte Helms, whether it's Chase Young, whether it's Grant Donaldson, whether it's Corey Sproul, whether it's Miles Murray. I mean, this is a team that just finds a way. I believe that these two teams are even in many aspects, but one of the places in which these two teams are not even, this is no disrespect, but at coaching, they're not necessarily even at this point because Coach Brooks, he's been there. He's done that. He's played in this game before. He's coached in this game before. So at the end of the day, man, I say that when it all comes down, I think the St. John's is going to give DeMatha everything and more than they could ask for. But at the end of the day, this DeMatha team, led by Bo English, led by Elijah Brooks, I believe that they find a way because to be the man, you got to beat the man. That's going to do it for us in WCAC Talk. We'll be back here next week to see who's right? Well, D, you and I can be right or wrong. Josh, he played the fence like that other woman that used to be on our show.
Hey.
DJ Khaled! I got the keys. I got the keys. I got the keys. I got the keys. We go to court, we gon' plead the field. I know the judge, I'ma shoot him some chills. I got the keys. I got the keys.
So he's asking me the key. Till you own, you can't be free. Till you own, you can't be me. How we still slaves in 2016. Key to life, keep it bad coming. Every night another bad coming. I ain't been asleep since 96. I ain't seen the back of my eyelids. I've been speeding through life with no safety belt. One-on-one with the corner with no safety help. I put fun like Josh Norman. I ain't normal. Just a project out in Beverly Hills, California. That rape talk, that's fun. Special golf talk here. All my from the mud, damn near all my millionaires. We gon' take it there, I swear. You gon' think a psychic. You ain't seen nothing like this. I should probably copyright this. I promise they ain't gon' like this.
I got the keys. I got the keys. I got the keys. I got the keys. We go to court, we gon' plead the fifth. I know the judge, I'ma shoot him some chips. I got the keys. I got the keys.
Radar, oh, they ain't even on my radar.
Swish.
Radar, oh, you ain't on my radar.
Swish.
Radar, no, you ain't on my radar.
Swish.
Bro, you ain't even on my radar.
Got a battery low, it's like your charges. Pile out the courtroom, like what charges? Big pimpin' on your court steps. Case y'all ain't noticed, I ain't lost yet. Y'all know it's one to one, soon as you hit it.
Right.
Y'all know the difference, right? From rap facts and fiction, right? Real life, I'm like Hov. Real life, I'm like goals. In real life, they like me. In real life, I'm like, no. My swag different. That bag different, huh? My wife, Beyonce. I brag different, huh? My baby blue. What else? I dream in color.
What else?
That's too much flavor.
What else?
I don't rap to suckers. God bless you all. I only talk special talk. I only talk special clock. Said I only talk special.
High school sports in hip hop. This is the Ricardo Report. Me, Chad Ricardo. That right there, Josh. JV Eloy bringing onto the show the producer, Mr. Jaron Glover. JG, if you're on the show, that means that it must be time to talk South County.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know the deal.
Now look, bro. Now you were reporting from the sidelines last week. I was a little worried, man. They had lost two games in a row, and I understand that they didn't come out on fire out there.
No. It was actually they went into halftime down 12-7. McDaniels threw a red zone interception that kept them from taking the lead before halftime. But he more than made up for it in the second half with a couple of touchdown passes to Dylan Spaulding, another touchdown to Seth Dunn, who they always tell me 81 is always open. And Solomon Semeh had a touchdown run as well. They broke away in the second half, man. It was a good thing to see.
It really was, man, and that was, like I said, kind of watching it from a distance. That was impressive because, again, after losing a couple of games, I had to believe that their confidence was waning a little bit, and so then to be down early, but then to fight back, that really says a lot about the heart of this team.
Yes. I believe Coach Pannone has always told them not to quit or give up. And you've seen that all season long, even in games where it looks like it could be over for them, they just kept pushing it. And, you know, even in the Lake Braddock game, they were scoring points at the end of the game to try and make it close, and they could have came back in that one. This team just keeps fighting over and over again.
They keep on coming back in, and the other thing that they keep on doing is they keep on scoring points. I saw two of these. This game had two phenomenal plays. That Seth Dunn catch and run, about a 65-yard touchdown reception, was amazing. How'd you like that?
Oh, it was a great thing to see. He broke wide open, and all McDaniels had to do was just get it to him. Mm-hmm. He slowed down for it. He made a bunch of moves, made a bunch of people miss, and he dove right in the end zone. It was an awesome play.
And then that the Dylan Spaulding one-handed grab, one of the best catches that I've seen all year.
Really good play. I think the ref should have gave him the touchdown on that play. That they spotted him at the 1 yard line. Which if I was the ref right there, you know, I was like, you know what, that kid just made this play. I'd give it to him.
Just give it to him. Let him finish it. I tell you, both of those made our top plays. So that'll you can always check those out during our top plays. See if Dylan Spaulding should have been awarded 6 points on that. South County came all the way back. They've got another tough game coming up this weekend. Lake Braddock, they were also down by a score of 14-0. They came running all the way back as well. Josh, when you look at these two teams, man, I mean, these are teams that we have, I don't want to use the term question, but we've asked questions about them throughout the year. The fact that they were both down in their first round games, does that give you cause to pause for their chance of moving forward in the BA6A?
Okay, for Lake Braddock, no, because they're a ground and pound team. Their running game really gets started in the second half. I mean, you never want to go down early. But it's less of a concern for me because of their playing style. As for the South County Stallions, it is just because of who they're playing next week.
They've got Westfield. They've got Westfield next week.
You can't start out slow against Westfield. We all know that.
Well, look, and you know what? Let's just go ahead and do it because, JG, Josh and I, we're going to pick that game coming up in the next segment. But you're here right now. You are here right now. Westfield, they've been you all's nemesis for the last 2 years. How's this game going to go down?
I got South County pulling this one out. Revenge. they got to even the score at 2-2, man. They split last season with Westfield taking the one in the playoffs. And now it's time for South County to get revenge and do the same thing back to them. Westfield took the one in the regular season earlier this year. South County didn't have who they thought they were going to have at the starting quarterback position at the time.
Shade? Is that Shade? I see Shade. So I feel Shade being thrown right now. A little bit of Shade.
No shade being thrown, but you know what I'm saying? Jack McDaniels, he was doing his thing this year. He's doing his thing. So let's see what Jack McDaniels looks like with a full game against Westfield. Against Westfield this weekend.
Yeah, and I do agree with that as well. Action Jack, first team all-conference quarterback, so he definitely deserves all of that love as well. Speaking of teams that have been a bit of a disappointment, Josh, CD Hilton, they fell again. Not only did they fall in the first round, they got trounced. They got straight mollywhopped by Colonial Forge, bro. Are you surprised?
I mean, this is a pattern. Okay, it's not an isolated incident. It's going back the last couple of years. CD Hilton's a great team, but when the rubber meets the road, something goes wrong with them, and I don't ever want to put pressure or question leadership, but hey, if Ricky Slade is the prospect we all talked about him being, and hey, not every fantastic player needs to be a leader, but you would like to see him be able to rally his teammates to make it a contest in one of these games. I'm not even talking about winning, but this is like, how many times have they been blown out in these big games?
Right, yeah, and look, I mean, Hilton was shut out. Like, shut down and completely shut out. Like, he didn't score a point. I saw highlights of the game, and, you know, highlights don't ever tell the full story, but the Forge defense just really put it on them, bro. They picked off Hilton quarterbacks multiple times during that game and, you know, and really just had Hilton on their heels the whole entire time. I got love for Hilton, man. I got love. I got love for the coaching staff. I got love for Tony Lilly, man. I got love for those guys out there. But the question does have to be asked at some point, man. At some point, you've got to win one of these big games, don't you? I'm going to say that's a yes.
I already made that point. At some point, okay, it's not even going to be winning, but Monty Schardenheimer got close in playoff games. This isn't even getting close.
That's real. That is real. And JG, look, if SoCo don't win next week, man, we might, you know, I don't want to have that conversation about you all.
Yeah, I would hate to have that conversation. Josh just seems to be talking about losing teams all weekend, man. Josh, you gonna talk about the Steelers or what?
I just want somebody to be able to tackle. I don't know if we got to get Chase Young out there to give the Steelers some tackling drills or something, but it was ridiculous.
That is awesome.
Zeke's going to win MVP. It's stupid.
That's awesome. For all of you listening out there, that's these two guys' two favorite teams. Jaren J.G. Glover, Cowboys fan. Joshie Laurie, Steelers fan. So they definitely had their fun with that this past weekend. Speaking of winners, though, we do have to give credit right now to the Pilati Panthers. Despite the fact that Josh has hated on you guys, doubted you guys all season long, you came back, you lost your first
two games. Don't even say that I hated on them. I questioned them, because when you've got a program on the come up, you've got to question them. But I have never, never hated them. Just because I'm not their number one cheerleader on the sideline with pom-poms and a skirt like you are,
you know what?
I've been hating.
You know what? I have never been on their sideline with pom-poms.
I wasn't being literal with that, okay, Chad?
Look, JG, he missed the joke right there. Okay, but I do want to give huge credit out there to my guys from Pilati, man. Coach Ian, man, Coach Justin, Coach Corwin, all of those boys, Blake, the Patterson boys, Cam Sullivan, Brown. I don't want to even want to start listing names because there's too many names of student-athletes out there that I love, and I don't want to forget any of them. But you guys, man, you got a special place in my heart, bro. You play the game the right way. You believe in family the right way. I got love for you, Pilati. Congrats. Enjoy this one.
Congrats, Pilati.
Everybody around me saying I should relax, cause I've been going hard till my eyes roll back. But all I wanna do is forget about my past and smoke a little, really nothing too drastic. Anytime you see me in a picture and I'm smiling, probably cause I'm faded or I'm chilling with the fans. I'm not really the type to let a nigga talk.
Playoff time at the Ricardo Report. Chad Ricardo right here, Josh Eloy right there. If Josh has been a little loud for you the entire night, man, please don't mind him. He's at a football game or an anti-Trump rally. I'm not really sure where he is, man, but he's a man of the people. He's a man of the people. He's with the people.
I'm out here campaigning.
All right, it's time to pick these games here, a few of the games of the week. We're going to get to Richard Montgomery next, Josh, because you still got to eat your words on them. But we're going to start off up north. I got Mervo taking on Howard. Mervo knocked off Sherwood last week, previously undefeated Sherwood. Can they pull the upset again?
I've got to go with them. I mean, look, when you look at their record, they're on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 game winning streak in three, including three straight on the road. When you're talking about mojo like that, it is hard to mess with that. They obviously have things clicking. Howard's going to put up a good fight, but I've got Mervo winning by a touchdown.
All right. You know what? And as I look at this, first of all, I want to give a shout-out to my main man, Armani Anderson, who had a big-time kick return against that Sherwood team last year to kind of seal the deal for Mervo. You can see him in the top place from this week as well. Josh, as much as I'm repping for that young man, I gotta give this one to Howard, man. Howard is a perennial powerhouse. They've been here before. They find themselves in this position just about year in and year out. I believe that that matters. I believe that that experience will matter. And I think that Howard gets it done by a score of 24-18 in this game.
Okay, so you got a safety being the decider.
Well, it'll get to 24-18 one way or the other. How about that?
24. The people were making me think that was 20.
It's okay. All right, moving on, because Josh, you were wrong last week, bruh.
Yeah.
Richard Montgomery. Now, shout out to my main man, Khalil Owens. That's my dude. Love Khalil Owens. But I think that you, even as I told you that Richard Montgomery could win that game, I think that you called me silly. You called me a damn fool. You said that me saying that was going to cost us the integrity of our show. Like you said all sorts of things. All sorts of things last week.
You sound like Kellyanne Conway right now, just making up.
Richard Montgomery won. Josh, give them their credit.
I was wrong.
Give them their credit, Josh.
Hey, I was wrong.
Tylan Hebron, apologize to Ty.
No.
Three touchdowns, Josh. Apologize to my nephew. Say sorry to my nephew, Spencer Silverstein.
Jesus, you're just handling the Trump administration right now. First Kellyanne, now Rudy Giuliani yelling. Okay. But anyways, hey, I got to give it up to them. They did what I thought they couldn't do. They played a great game. But I think the magic runs out this week, because I've seen this Quinn Sorcher team come up. I mean, they got some boys who could be playing WCAC ball for real, for real.
So you're going against my boys again, huh?
Yeah.
You're going against Richard Montgomery again, huh?
Because, hey, Doc and Fofi are D1 talents. Does Richard Montgomery have anybody who you would say is a D1 talent? And be objective here. I know you love your nephew Silverstein, but outside of the Ivies, are there going to be any D1 schools really looking at him?
I mean, they got a couple of guys. They got a couple of guys out there. I don't. You are so disrespectful. I don't even. These are student athletes. These are student athletes we're talking about. You are so disrespectful.
My gosh. You know what? Are not prepared to answer.
I don't even want to talk about this anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm moving on. I'm moving on from this game. I'm moving on from this game totally and completely. I do want to give a shout out to my main man, Fofi Bazzi, though. That's my dude. That's my guy out there. Certainly wish him the absolute best. The entire QO family. Josh is rolling with you all, and you have upset me so much that I'm not even going to pick anyone in this game. How about that?
So I get called so much for not picking, because I don't know whose running backs are going to play for the cadets in that WCAC title game. But you can just, like, not make a pick here.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, South County taking on Westfield.
All right, Mike Pence.
Headed all the way back down to VA. South County taking on Westfield. This is a big one, man. I know that you don't like to pick favorites, but I will say that South County is one of my favorite teams. They're taking on Westfield, though. They're taking on Raymond Johnson, Mr. Sean Eckert, that tough Westfield defense. Westfield, of course, they are defending champions. They've been here. They've done that. They struggled a little bit early. They seem to have righted the ship. South County, they can put up 50-60 points any given night out there. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it don't matter. Josh, who do you got in this game and why?
I got Westfield, because to copy your words, to be the man, you gotta beat the man. Westfield won the earlier matchup at South County. They've been getting off to slow starts on offense, and we know that offense is potent, but you're not going to be scoring 50 points against Westfield's defense.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, to be honest with you, as just to that point, the South County defense has not always. I mean, look, they've got a couple of issues in that South County defense, bro. And Westfield is tough, man. They can mash the ball down your throat, and that sets up their play action passing, and that sets up Raymond Johnson on the keepers as well. I think that this Westfield offense will be able to exploit the South County defense in multiple facets in this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what, Josh?
Jared's not going to be.
I'm going with SoCo. I'm going with SoCo as well.
You are such a homer. It's not even funny.
South County wins this game. They come storming back.
Are you going to ever pretend to be objective?
Raymond Johnson and Westfield gets up early, and then Action Jack gets going. He links up with Dylan Spaulding, Solomon Semay, Christian Massey gets an interception. Number 81, he scores a touchdown as well. South County wins this game late. Let's go Stallions! Let's go Stallions! I'm done.
Thank you.
I'm done.
My ears were starting to hurt.
That's going to do it for this show. I am done. Want to thank all of our contributors this week. Rodney Jiggs Johnson, thank you, brother. WCAC Insider Darrell Bulk Knight, thank you, brother. Mr. Jaron Glover, thank you. And Josh JV Elori, thank you.
Thanks for having me and putting up with me.
Once again, each and every week. Also want to thank you, and especially you, for making us your official source of high school sports in the DMV. I am Chad Ricardo saying good night and happy birthday, Mom.